Welcome everybody, October 18th, 2011, getting closer and closer to the 1111 portal and feeling the energy right now, the frequency of opening this new portal, holding the space for the portal, holding the frequency for the new energies and all those kinds of things. So what does all that mean? What are we really doing here? That's the question. So what I'm experiencing since we started last week with such a significant piece of energy shifting information, of moving basically from the cross to the chalice, which was a very significant reset of frequencies, reset of energies, and reset of paradigms. So what I'm experiencing as we're moving into October 28th, 2011 and beyond, the ninth wave of the Mayan calendar, what are we doing? Now we have all this information and all this astrological information and all these different people are telling us all these things. So what does this mean? What does the end of the Mayan calendar mean? What does moving off the cross into the chalice mean? And yes, that is the operative question. People know, everybody knows something's changing and what's changing. I put a link up on Shakti Activation that's very beautiful, shows pictures of Occupy Wall Street, and there's a number of pictures from people all over the world, and the first one is of this young man holding up a sign saying, "I love humanity, let's figure this shit out together," and it's just in the background, all these people around, and it's, so people know that things are shifting, and there's something going on, but it's not all figured out. And I think that just is a very good way of looking at the world that we're moving into. It's something that's we're in the process of creating it. So where we have like Mars and Leo during this time, which is the activation of our who are we, what are we creating, what do we want to create, a lot of individual activation. We're looking at all these activations that are happening, these new star frequencies that are coming through from our central sun, the wind up with M87, all the galaxies, all these bursts of energies, solar activity, all this activity, all this stimulation from a range of stimulation in a way that's negative, so to speak, from the Fukushima Earth Changes kind of stimulation all the way to people getting together saying, hey, something needs to change, something needs to be different. So we're in the process, we are in an activation process. And what is being activated? And we have such a range of energies and being activated and how all this change is showing up on the planet. And in the context of what the Mayan calendar tells us is that we've been in this whole building up these up to this ninth wave and beyond. The way that the frequencies have been hitting humanity, according to the Mayan calendar, is the left brain of humanity, and it describes evolutionary cycles, has been stimulated. That's one way to talk about what we're moving out of. As we know, we're moving out of the left brain dominated patriarchy. But the way the new energies are happening and the new evolution is happening on the planet is the right brain is now being stimulated for all of humanity. The way the planets are lined up, the way the solar system's lined up, you know, I don't know the way the tilt of the Earth, I don't know exactly how that would be described by the Mayan calendar, but we know that the reframe is we're moving from just an isolated kind of left brain sort of awareness or consciousness to a whole brain, right brain, where as I said, you know, the mythology is we're moving from getting off the cross, the duality, the separation, the pain of having to die for something sinful, to embracing life as a whole. So what we're doing right now is we're creating the new mythology of what does life look like when we view life from the right brain, from the whole as being important, like all the parts are connected to the whole, and the new mythology has to do with the connections being more the dominant piece that's important rather than how we're separated and fighting against the separation. So it was kind of like in the 60s, the feminist movement as an example, or, you know, we could choose any movement, or the suffragette movement when women were fighting for the vote in the U.S. It was kind of like fighting against, like, okay, to get this, we need to fight against the patriarchy, that the men that don't want us to have the vote, or the men that don't want us to have corporate jobs, or whatever it was. So these struggles that we've gone through different groups of people have been kind of in relationship to fighting against something. But now, as we move more to this right brain, whole brain, humanity looking at the whole, the relationship is, as I said, from this picture that I put the link to on Shakti Activation, you can look at it later, how can we figure this out together? What's important is the connection. What's important is the relationship. Yes, we've had time to separate ourselves, and we're coming into a time of creative individual synergy. There's that spark of really wanting to go inside and figure out who we are, and then bring that forth into unity with others. How can we share our individual gifts with the greater whole? Where does our piece fit in? So we're really looking at two sides of the spectrum. What is our gift that we want to share, and how does that gift fit in with the whole? So the new mythology is really arising out of the connection, the importance of the connection, the importance of the relationships, and how do these relationships affect the whole for the greater good. So that's what we're really looking at. How can we create a whole brain mythology? How can we create a mythology that becomes aware of that we are affecting the whole? We are part of the whole hologram, and each piece of the hologram is an important part. There's no part that's not important. So we're just really shifting the mythology to assessing what's important. So these are some of the pieces of the new, of recreating this mythology of the chalice. We've reached out to grab the chalice last week. So we brought it in. We're holding the chalice. We're holding the lotus petals opening up of the chalice, the lotus petals of the heart chakra opening up. And as it opens, what does that chalice hold? What is the mythology of the chalice? What does it hold? And what's our peace? What's that sweet peace? What's that sweet drink? What's that wine? What's that nectar that we're drinking of as we embrace this new mythology with our own energies and with sharing that energies with whole? So that's with the whole. So that's what we're really seeing when we, you know, look around at the, you know, the Occupy Wall Street movement that's happening in the U.S. and around the world. People are saying, you know, something's happening, and we're all in this together. People collectively are rising up and noticing whatever's happening, we're in this together. It's affecting all of us. So it is really a huge shift as we move October 28th out of this ninth wave, which, again, doesn't mean the end of the Mayan calendar, the end of time, as some, you know, people might like to scare it with. It's more like, no, now we have access to these nine waves or levels of consciousness. We've gone through all these levels of consciousness, and all the experiences that we as a humanity have had are now available to us. So it's time, if we're needing something, we can invoke certain experiences. Oh, I need this, or I need that. Oh, I can just search on the internet for information about that, or I can call up a friend. So we're linked together with all these experiences of humanity's had as a whole, just, you know, from searching it on the internet. We can just get all the information we need. So how do we put all this together to embrace the needs of ourselves and of humanity and of the planet and of evolution at this time? So everybody's being asked to step forth and participate in creating this new mythology, because it's the mythology of the chalice, is the mythology that we're creating collectively together. And we're looking at our response to what the external stimuli is outside of us. It's like, how do we respond to quote-unquote external stimulation, whether it's, you know, a full moon or a new moon or Occupy Wall Street or our relationships? How do we relate to that external world in a way that creates a connection and creates a unity rather than something to fight against, as I, you know, gave in that example a minute ago about women moving into the workforce in the 60s, or, you know, for the vote, or whatever issue you'd want to take, it was fighting against. Now it's like, how do we relate to something that's happening around us in a way that creates a connection, so that we experience our peace, our part, from a place of power, a place of co-creation, to regain our true identity as co-creators. And we're regaining our place as infinite beings in our psyche and in the mythology of the times. So we've gone out of this kind of, you know, desperation, a feeling that we're finite beings, into the hope and the experience of being infinite beings, of being co-creator beings, that how we interact and relate to these parts around us can expand us and expand ourselves and help others. So we're really moving out of the oppression of the mythology of the cross, which is a very oppressive mythology that, you know, Jesus has been nailed to this cross for, you know, 2,000 years. Let's take him down and let's all, you know, sit and celebrate together and drink, you know, drink of the nectar, drink of the wine, drink of the wholeness. You know, how do we move from this mythology of suffering to this mythology of co-creation, to the world being a beautiful place? So that's what we're creating at this period of time. That's what we're looking at this period of time. And we're saying, how do we relate to power from a place of feeling powerful, as an example? How do we, as opposed to power over, like, oh my gosh, I've got to fight against the powers that be. No, how do I in myself feel powerful within myself and contribute something that I feel makes me feel powerful, rather than I'm fighting against something? So I might just get a couple friends together and chant the Adi Shakti mantra. You know, I might get on a conference call with my Shakti activation friends and we'll just talk about things and we'll chant together. So it's really a place of feeling good about sharing power. So that's an example. How do we look at integrating the nine dimensions in a way that's something that we all share? So right now, during this period of time, what we're really looking at is integrating these nine dimensions, as an example, as presented to us in the Mayan calendar. We're in unity consciousness. How do we integrate all these states of being, these states of consciousness, and share them in a way that elevates everybody? So it's really about looking at our relationship to the same puzzle pieces that we've had around us, but our relationship is different. We're still on the earth. We still still have different astrological influences. We still have new moons. We still have full moons. But it's how we relate to them. It's our awareness of our connection that now makes things be different, that creates a new mythology. And it was just interesting. I was asking before this call from the Goddess Oracle book what goddess wants, goddess energy wants to talk to us today or come through today. And the Aphrodite card came up, and it was interesting because what it talks about in the book is the mythology of Aphrodite was that she was a very powerful goddess. She was powerful in many aspects. She was powerful in battle. She was powerful. She was a powerful woman. She wasn't just a submissive goddess of love. And it talks about how when she moved into the Greek mythology, they relegated her to just a goddess of love, and they married her to somebody called Hephaestus, who they're saying was the lame god of smithcraft, and he made her exquisite jewelry, but they took her passion away, they took her power away from her. So we're reclaiming our power, we're reclaiming the power of love within ourselves rather than, oh, women coming out of the patriarchy, women are just chattel, they're owned by men, which of course is, part of the old patriarchal mythology. So we're reassessing our relationship to all these different qualities. So if we're in relationships, how do we give and still feel that we're creating at the same time? Rather than giving our power away, we're co-creating. So that's another reframe. How do we give and create? Like, how do we stay connected to our own feelings and feel powerful? So those are, I'm talking about different balance points, access points. How do we stay integrated in 3D and integrate with spirit? How do we stay grounded and let go? How do we stay connected to ourselves and the other? How do we stay connected to the present and be into expanded infinite feelings of bliss? So these are some reframes. These are reframes to look at and how we can relate differently, how we can shift this power dynamic into knowing that we're co-creator beings, into knowing that we're now holding the chalice, and it's up to us to extend that chalice out from our hearts and see who we want to pour wine with. Pour wine meaning just the blissful nectar of being. How do we want to feel that in our bodies? So it's about staying connected in our bodies and integrating with spirit, as I said. So we're looking at all these different correlations. We're looking at how we can birth these new relationships, how we can do our inner work and know what our gift is that we want to share with people around us, what is our special gift that we're bringing to the world, and knowing that we are valuable, that each piece created by the Creator is a valuable piece. So this is what we're looking at. If we have this Mars in Leo, our self-expression, and we're creating our new self, and we're connecting our new self with others, and we're connecting our new self with the world. How can we look at this in a way that we can lighten up, like we're relating to ourselves as spiritual, infinite spiritual beings? And how can we go deep into that and not get all heavied out and trapped in that? So we're moving, as we move from the lightness of being of Aries, of an air sign, into the depths of the water, the depths of Scorpio, as we move into coming right up, moving into Scorpio, we're looking at how can we integrate the concepts that we've been learning, the mental concepts, the airy concepts of Libra, how can we integrate those spiritual concepts with the depths of Scorpio? How can we dive into these concepts that we've been learning about? And we've had, you know, Sun, Venus, and Mercury, and we've had all the influence of these energies in Libra, these planets in Libra. And now, how can we take these as we move into Scorpio, move into the depths? How can we move deeper with this and still maintain the lightness of being? So this is what we're really challenging ourselves with. We're challenging ourselves with, wow, what is this new consciousness? What is the mythology that's really showing up around me on the planet? And how can I be part of this change and not be overwhelmed by it, or, you know, whatever, however it might show up for you? How can I let go and go deep? How can I jump into the water and swim and fly through the air? So we've got this 7-year period that we've been talking about with Uranus moving through Aries. So that's what we talked a lot about last week, this individual self, this new identity. But it's the collective new identity also. And Uranus gives us these jolts and bursts of electrical energy. It's almost like a shock, like we're getting shocked into waking up. How can I totally be myself? And how can I share myself with others in a way that keeps me in my excitement, that keeps me in my power? That's Uranus moving through Aries. And we've got Neptune, which is ruled by Pisces. We've got Chiron in Pisces. So this is really, this hasn't happened in 160 years. So what's the healing here? What's the deep healing? Neptune, what's the deep healing of the dream? Neptune is the ability to move into the sixth sense, open up your vision. What is your new vision? You can now be healed. We're moving into a space that we're out of the oppression of being, you know, hung on the cross of sin. So what is really your healing right now? What's going to bring you that lightness of being? What's going to take you into that lightness of being? What's going to heal you? What's going to shock you into that self-healing, that moment of breakthrough, of really knowing who you are, of really getting out of that box? So these are some of what we're talking about, the energies that are just cursing through us. And so if we understand them, when we feel that kind of electrical shock or something wakes us up, we're saying, okay, what do I need to do with this? Maybe journal, maybe chant Adi Shakti mantra, maybe call somebody up, you know, talk about it in your yoga class, teach a yoga class, get some women together and have yogi tea. You know, what do I need to do to spread this electrical energy around? What is my journey during this time? You know, how are these different planets affecting me? What are my dreams during this time? If I was dreaming a dream of infinite possibilities and I had Jupiter influence, which is expansion, what would be my biggest dream? So it's time to really dream big. And maybe you initially keep those dreams to yourself, but then you open them up and you can just share them with others. And that's what we've been doing on these calls and the goddess calls. So we're using all this as booster fuel to push us through this 11-11 portal that's coming right up. And 11 is the master number, walking in mastery. It's the number of knowing that we are co-creators. I am, I am, I am, I am. And this is the crowning pinnacle of what evolution has brought us to this point of learning our real identity. We are infinite beings. We are co-creator beings. And we can move into this ascension portal, 11-11-11, and fully feel that and fully embody that and be liberated by that. So at this moment, moving up to 11-11, it's a time to bring yourself personally off the cross. So if you're, you know, feeling bad about yourself or about something, or I haven't done this, or I haven't evolved that, or I could have done this differently, because these higher frequencies are coming through onto the planet and in the collective, you can totally forgive yourself. And you can move into these ascension frequencies now because they're available for everybody. It's not like, okay, I meditated every day and done my sauna perfectly for the last, 20 years, so I get to ascend on 11-11. No. The energies are available in the chalice. You chant Adi Shakti, as an example, you move into that frequency of the collective whole, you open up your heart to those higher frequencies, and you're there. You're in the 11-11 ascension portal. You can be liberated. You can know that you are a co-creator at this time. It's only being aware that you can access these frequencies. It's not about, oh, okay, I didn't do enough work. You've done enough work. So you can pull, you can, and that's the beauty. We can share all these frequencies as a collective. And that's what we used to talk about, the 100th monkey. If we just get, a certain percentage of people waking up on the planet, it's not that everybody will wake up, but it's that we can share those frequencies with others that want to wake up. So we can share the experiences of the collective at this time, and that's what we're getting with all the information on the internet and everybody out on the streets. We're sharing information so we can all benefit from the collective experiences if we choose to access that. And as we share our experiences, of course, others will benefit from our experiences, and that's how we've been working to put these frequencies into the field. We do our meditations. We meditate every week together. We put that frequency into the field, and that frequency is there for others to benefit from, for others to share from. And then as we share, we're uplifted. Yogi Bhajan used to say, as you serve, so shall you be served. So as we serve and give from our hearts, then we make a space for the universe, for the ethers, for the angels to give back to us. We create the circle. So that's what we want to keep doing with the mythology of the chalice. We want to create that circular energy, that spiral energy, that kundalini energy circling up from the center of the earth, the crystalline frequency of the earth, becoming more and more energized and spiraling up so more and more people can feel this kundalini energy, the spiraling energy as a springboard to move into an expanded state of being where they can embrace more possibilities than they saw the day before. Maybe it's just the possibility of getting along with our neighbor. Maybe it's the possibility of helping someone who needs help that they hadn't noticed before. Maybe it's a possibility of receiving some love that they need to receive. But that's what we're talking about. We're collectively opening up to more possibilities of how we can co-create the world that we want to live in, being aware that these different dimensional states are certain frequencies, and when you start moving into the fourth and the fifth and the higher dimensions, you have to, people that move, beings that are in those frequencies, in those dimensions, are more and more purified. As an example, when you move really into the fourth and the fifth dimensions, judgment doesn't exist there. That's a lower frequency. So we can just, these states of beings are actually dimensions that are available that we can move into. But if people get into judgment or attached to their judgments, they'll drop out of those states of being. So it's about showing people, how can we help each other rather than judge each other? How can we come down off the cross of separation and share with each other? So these people are moving into higher, the awareness of, wow, there's something better, it's better if we join together. So that's what we're seeing all around us, and that's what we can support with our meditations, with our consciousness. We can support the awareness that there are other dimensions besides 3D, and it feels better, it's lighter, it's better. Spirituality is not a heavy, burdensome path. It's a better place to be, and collectively people are seeing that on the planet. The new mythology is a better place to be. It's a better place to be as we move through October and November, as I said, Sun, Venus, and Mercury moving through Libra, Scorpio, and into Sagittarius with the emphasis on healing and removing these heavier belief systems, these antibodies, these forces and the attitudes that weigh us down. That's the possibility of this time. is the possibility to move us into the lightness of being collectively and put that frequency in the field for all those who can benefit from it. It's about the collective Messiah, and that we're moving together for all those who can embrace the love and embrace the freedom and embrace the space of the heart. That's what's available right now on the planet, and it's never been available to, that we know, during the last, this whole last period of time, the last 26,000 years. We're moving out of that isolation so all can drink of these good feelings. So we're talking about moving into that experience of Ekankar, the oneness. So we're going to anchor in some Ekankar frequency into the matrix, into the grid. Beautiful, powerful Shakti activator. So we're going to start with that. And then we're going to move into the chalice frequency of the Ma, of the Mother Energy. So those are the frequencies we're anchoring into the grid for all to share during our beautiful, powerful connection and meditation with each other. So here we go.
Divine Guru, Thank you.
beautiful, beautiful energy go out into the grid, out to the collective, out to the field, the ethers, the frequency. Good, good. Resetting the frequency with the Shakti activation group and the help of divine beings, Yogi Bhajan being here with us. Good, good. Anchoring that in. And exhaling and letting that good energy all come back to you and flow down through your body, anchoring in to the crystalline frequency of Mother Earth. And let it go. And let your kundalini flow. And dance and celebrate. Creating the new mythology of the chalice. Thank you, everybody, for being here and co-creating today. I had a wonderful time. Anybody like to share anything? Utter a Wahe Guru before we sign off, and I think we'll be on tomorrow at 4 Pacific time and 7 for the Goddess Activation Call, which we'll check in more about the mythology of the chalice if you want to maybe pull a goddess card for that.
Oh, Gorkin, I want to say something. We pulled it. And on Thursday, we had a conference at Pink
Dog. Oh, good, great. Yeah, I'll be able to be on tomorrow. Yeah, go ahead.
Sharon and Touchbeat and myself, and I pulled, I wanted to pull a card so we can talk, and so I pulled a card and I pulled Aphrodite.
Oh, good. Oh, wonderful.
And she pulled a card, and she starts screaming. She was like, oh, I pulled Aphrodite.
Oh, I'm so glad she told me.
Yeah, so we, and now you said you pulled one, and they,
I right, I pulled
one.
Aphrodite today.
So, may love rule the world.
May our new experience of the power of love rule the world. I think that's what we're moving into collectively, and everybody can look at this little link I put, but it's so great. I think that's what people are moving into, the power of love ruling the world.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you for the experience. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, thank you, everybody. I really feel the power of love that we expressed and put into the collective today. And so thank you, everybody, for contributing your time and your gifts. And I will, whoever wants to, will be together tomorrow, if you like.
Yes. I love you.
Love you. Love you, everybody. I will we'll connect also next Tuesday, October 25th. So you're all in my heart, and we'll all still be connecting with our higher selves, other dimensions, multidimensional beings that we are. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.